we are in that time of the year where not a lot of technology products or companies that manufacture new technologies are making a lot of launches and releases, which is actually not a bad thing. The slowdown is pretty good. And for whatever reason, it gives us a chance to sort of recap and reflect on some of the technologies that have come out and also just see whether they're good for us as a society of people and a community of people and see if they're actually helping us connect with one another. There's a product that recently came out called the Humane, I think it's called the Humane One, if I remember correctly, which is basically a device. We've spoken about it before. It's a device that's like in a square shape. It can fit in the palm of your hand. It's a very, very small device. It's way smaller than a phone, smaller than a Wi-Fi router. And its purpose basically is to become an AI that you can move around with, walk around anywhere. It can translate languages. It can tell you, for example, if you're walking in a street, the things that it sees on the street. It can calculate calories. It can give you you can show it ingredients, and then it can tell you what you can make with those ingredients. So for example, you can show it what you have in your fridge, and then it can say, I can see you have milk, you have butter, you have this, you have that. With these ingredients, these are the things you can make. Perhaps you can make nachos, or if you also show it to your pantry, you can make nachos, you can make mac and cheese, you can make whatever the case may be. So that's the purpose of this device. And it's supposed to be convenient enough to use so that you don't need to pull out your smartphone all of the time, unlock it, show it the camera, and, you know, all of those things. It's meant to just work. Even if you're in a restaurant and you're eating a meal and you want to know which restaurants sell that meal or serve that meal, or where can you find it where it's cheaper, it can make those recommendations. And get this, right? Get this. It can even make purchases for you on like Takealot, Amazon, or whatever the case may be. Of course, I'm sure you're already thinking of all the problems that come with this kind of a device, because the claim is that it can also book your flights. You can already imagine. So the product is out and it has received a lot of negative reviews. Most people who reviewed it, basically the conclusion is that it's a bad product and no one should buy this product, right? And for me personally, we've also spoke of the Rabbit One. I think it was called the Rabbit One, which is a similar device. They're competitors, and they're both trying to accomplish the very same thing. Because if you think about it, all of this can be accomplished by an app on your phone, right? And I understand that with the rise of AI, these companies are trying to take advantage of how advanced AI has become. But of course, we're in a time where AI is still making mistakes. So we can't put our trust in it, not even for a second. Now, something else that I wanted to bring onto the table is the AI-generated imagery. Now, this is a very bad one, which is exactly the thing that the problem that comes with relying so much on AI, that you'd create a pin that doesn't even have a screen, right? It uses your palm as a screen, but that's like a projection, a light projection. It's not a screen where you can actually see what it's doing from point A to point B. So this one is Meta. Meta's oversight board is deciding on a case involving AI-generated sexual images. This is a very, very big one, right? Because this is not new. There are many, you can imagine that sites that are nefarious and are not necessarily trying to, trying to do things by principle, how easy it is they'll make it to generate content, sexual content, pornography, or whatever the case may be. And if they're using pictures of people that are in real life, that live, you can already see how bad that can get, and how offensive that can be. And this should just be a no-brainer as to whether it should be illegal or not. Also on Netflix side, Netflix may have used AI-generated images in a true crime documentary. Can you believe that? A true crime documentary. There are ethical concerns around the use of manipulated imagery in a true crime documentary where you're supposed to be giving me a view of what happened and summarizing it for me and packaging it in a documentary. So these are all concerns that we have. And these are all things that we should be thinking about, because this will be affecting you in the near future, and is already affecting a lot of people. I was watching stats on how many people in the United States have already started losing their jobs. It's horrifying. And I do hope that this manages to auto-correct itself, obviously with the involvement of governments as well. I do sincerely hope that it manages to auto-correct itself in some way. But my question that I'm going to leave with you tonight is, especially during this tech impact segment, is, are you at all concerned about AI, or do you think that it's something that will affect other people, and in the career that you're in, you feel safe and secure?
This part of the evening we devote to all things tech, and I've thought it worthwhile because hopefully you have been feeling like I've been feeling, and I did a bit of research pertaining to the realities of life and what is happening currently in our dear South Africa. Right, so let's have a look. First thing, and this is the main focus of my part of the tech impact, is that we are sitting on a record amount of days without, a record amount of consecutive days, rather, of no load shedding. And that, so why do we no longer have load shedding? That is the question, and that is something that we need to answer. Okay, so I did a bit of research. I found a couple of articles, and because to be totally honest with you, I thought, like, what is happening? This is all politics, and everybody's just this political thing, and I just goes to show. Listen, I was quite angry, and then I found out something. Do you know that by 2022 and 2023, South Africa has bought more than, I might be wrong, but it's almost close to 2 billion rands worth of home solar devices, right? That is people buying solar panels for their houses. The interesting thing with that is that we've decreased the load on the Eskom grid by more than 2,000 megawatts, right? So the Eskom grid is currently under severe pressure because it needs to add about 17,000 megawatts or something. I can't remember the name. Right, something but stupendous amount. But then we've, as South Africans, bought solar, the people that's actually able to afford it. I'm not one of those people. They bought solar and they decreased the load of Eskom by more than 2,000 megawatt. Of the 2,000 megawatt, close to 1,000 megawatt is just household use. This is not small businesses. These are household use. So that's the one thing. The other thing that how we decreased it is we've added solar that charge inverter batteries. And during the night when there's no sun, so you can't charge the solar, the battery is actually providing the house with electricity. It's great. Let's be honest. It is totally great. And all of us that's unable to afford solar panels and inverters to no longer have load shedding are no longer having load shedding, and we saved a whole lot of money. But we should be thankful to the people that made those efforts. The second thing is that Eskom actually is able to do maintenance now by means of the grid not being under that severe pressure. I want to mention something real quick here, which is very interesting, as I don't know if you know this, but the amount of stages that we are experiencing, the number of the stage that we're currently on is the number of megawatts, is the same number of 1,000 megawatts that Eskom should save. So if we're on stage 2 load shedding, Eskom needs to save or get some or other 2,000 megawatts. Now, you would remember that we were constantly basically stage 1, stage 2, stage 1, stage 2, meaning that Eskom needs to save 1,000 megawatts or 2,000 megawatts. But now houses are actually doing that by means of providing their own electricity by solar power and save 2,000 megawatts. That's why we are no longer on load shedding. So I just thought I'd share that. It's totally worth it. Very, very, very interesting with regards to load shedding and the current state that we are in. Probably might still be something to do with politics. I wouldn't know. But I'm just thankful because people made the effort to pay all those monies. And now those of us that can't afford it are no longer having load shedding. interesting, if you're unable and you want to bypass load shedding, which is not a thing that we currently have, you can import solar panels and do it yourself. Get a solar spotlight means you will still have light when there's no electricity. But it just seems so redundant to me to have this conversation while we are no longer having load shedding. I think it would be worth or something to investigate when it's winter time. People are using more electricity then. Let's see what happens. But for now, enjoy your days. I think we're standing on day 24, 25 now. Enjoy your days of having 24-hour-a-day electricity.